let's not worry too much about what what just happened. So you were just saying, like, what annoys you is that you plan out your sets so that there's a drop and that that people know when it's coming, right?
I want people to know when it's coming because when I first started, I wasn't a DJ. I was in the crowd, right? I was dancing and stuff. And a lot of the times I would notice that a lot of the buildup makes energy in the crowd and then they're waiting for the drop to go crazy.
Yeah, so, I know I do.
So when they miss it, it kind of like... If the energy dies down a little bit, like it just it goes away.
So that would annoy you when you're out in the crowd.
Yeah. So usually when I plan my sets, I want the drop to be clear when it's gonna be there. You know, like if the drum roll ends and there's either like a clip or something there to sing, like 1, 2, 3.
Drop. And then you drop.
Yeah, like it's usually always very clear. Some music doesn't do that. Some genres don't do that, but usually mainstream music always does that.
Yeah. So what you were saying, you're like that that you've gone to see people play, or is it called playing when a DJ has their own thing?
Just play. Yeah.
So it's called they go up and play. Like I'm gonna go see
you go
Skrillex.
DJ. They go DJ. Yeah.
Okay. They go
perform,
DJ.
Perform DJ. You can say whichever.
All right. I just want to say the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be an old fart or something.
You go up there and play. Yeah,
you go up in there and play.
Yeah.
So you go up and play, and wait, let me back up. You get hired to DJ parties, am I right? But you never get to play the music that you want to play.
It's not that I don't want to play it. It's that I know it's not appropriate for the crowd or for the event. And that's okay. Like, that doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
It makes me happy. Like, I remember one time I got to DJ at a convention. I got to DJ 3 conventions, like, and these were, like, where people dress up, like, in costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember the very first time, because I made my set, like, top 40s mixed with, like, harder, like, electro music that's maybe not too mainstream. But I remember very clearly that I made this set in contrast to these other, like, really fast and really, like, candy-like sounds, crazy.
Candy?
Upbeat. Like music.
Got it.
And so my music was like, and I made sure I put top 40 in there because people have like, maybe it gives them like a point of reference or something to go off of.
Right.
Like what's fun and what's not or something like that. Or what's crazy and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like when people screamed, I got like goosebumps because like, cause they like it, right? Like, and they scream.
Yeah.
And you know you're doing it, right? And it's like, yes, like it's working. Or
yes,
it just
you did
feels
a good job.
It feels incredible.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So.
I mean, well, that's why I love to go see music.
Okay.
It's just, I love that feeling of, like, the energy of a crowd.
Yeah.
And, like, this group. Like, my friend posted something on Facebook the other day, and she said, this is my church. Because it feels like that, you know, it's like everybody is anticipating the drop and it gets builds and builds and builds.
Yeah, it builds and it comes and then people, you know, it's like the signal for them.
Yeah, can I play you my favorite?
Sure.
It's actually the same song that she posted on Facebook.
Sure.
We'll get in the groove and then we'll continue our interview. This one. So we can talk over the beginning of it because it builds. You know this song, I'm sure. So do you make music like this? Like, do you have a song that is sounds and music and then builds and builds and builds and then boom, and then you change it? Or are you always playing other people's music and mixing?
Music. Yeah. I don't play my music at the shows.
I mean, like, you make music?
Yeah, for fun, I make my own music, but for the shows, I'll usually, at most, they'll be mashups of two songs, you know, like, that I'll put together in my computer, because they only have two decks.
Decks.
So I don't have, like, some DJs do, they have, like, 4 or 6, so they'll be playing samples over different songs. I can't do that, so I'll use a computer to put two songs together, and maybe two other songs together, and then I'll export them in my computer, bring them to the show, and then that way you can have, you know,
a little more
dynamic. Song or whatever.
Yeah. Is there any way that you can make me a mixtape before I go?
Sure. Of what?
Of your music.
Of
what you
music?
Want. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, so my friends used to make mixtapes, right?
Yeah.
When I was in college, right?
Yeah.
And I mean like actual tapes, not a CD, not a like playlist on Spotify. I mean like tapes that they decorated with their cool graffiti handwriting, and they would hand it to me. And it wasn't like what I would make. I would make like a sequence of songs that sounded really great together and would like build energy and bring it down, blah, blah. No, this was like him DJing an entire mixtape. So that's what I would love to have of yours. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to just like...
A mixtape?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be on a physical tape, but yeah. I need to be able to put it in my iTunes because right. I buy all my music
and
stuff.
I can do that. I can probably upload it to SoundCloud and then send you a link or something like that and you can download it.
Are you ready for the drop? It's okay. Coming kind of soon. All right. I don't want to miss it.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. So, yeah, this guy, his name was Luke Rattray. Uh-huh. I went to college with him.
Cool.
And he was a really amazing DJ. And so they used to, I don't know if Luke did it, but there were a lot of people that did what you do. There was no computer, we didn't have personal computers then. Yeah, we didn't have amazing. iPhones, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they would stand on the corner with a table and sell their different mixtapes. Mm, and they'd all so be cool. decorated. And they would be like, not packaged, they were just like loose mixtapes in these like, with track listings and stuff, handwritten and everything.
That's awesome.
It's really super cool.
That's
yeah.
super cool.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that you do it, and I hope that one day you get to play the music you want.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be cool. I mean, I still wanted to play that music, you know, that I would play.
You ready?
Yeah.
Great. Come on.
I'm ready. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's awesome. That's exactly what we do.
Why aren't you dancing? Get a dance yourself, please.
Yeah, I like it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Like indie, right, or something like that? What is it?
Alternative, it says.
Okay. But it's still electronic, right? It's a little synthesizer.
Say it again?
It's still electronic, though. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I think it's because James Walsh is from, like, an alternative background.
Got it. That's awesome.
Oh, I'm out of breath.
This is your friend?
No!
Oh.
This is my friend posted.
Oh, he posted it.
They played at the Pitchfork concert just a couple days ago, and she posted the crowd building. I'll show it to you.
Ugh. Oh, man.
What?
Oh, no, it's just, I'm excited.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm out of breath.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sorry, I love the dance.
I like it, yeah.
Oh, here it is.
I really like it.
Wait, let me pause this.
Okay.
But let's wait until he does a little breakdown. I think he breaks it down.
So that's a breakdown?
I think so.
Or like a bridge or something like that?
I call it the breakdown.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
So, okay, here's the video. So check it out. I like watched this on Facebook, and I'm in my house, and as soon as I heard this, I knew who it was. I didn't.
I'm going to a concert of a guy like this on Friday.
Cool.
Do you know the Neon Indian?
No.
No? Okay.
That's what I was doing, right? I'm dancing.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, yeah, the collective energy build and then release. Yeah, exactly. So when they miss the beat, it's so tragic to me. You know, like it's embarrassing at the worst, but it's still tragic because it's lost. A part of it is lost, you know? Yeah.
You have to be a really good DJ.
Yeah.
To get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Woo!
Yeah, I'm glad you got it. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So how are we
I'm looking
what,
at
what does the few I'm gonna ask you some of these questions for StoryCorp so I can upload it. You want to answer some of them?
Sure.
All right. What does the future hold for you?
For me?
Yeah. What do you think?
My degree and a job.
What kind of degree?
That's the computer science. My computer science degree. That's the closest thing I can think of.
How soon will that be?
In a year.
So you'll get your bachelor's in a year?
Yeah. And
very
then maybe,
cool.
Maybe I can do a master's.
What are you going to get a master's in?
Probably computer science. I also want to go... I would like to learn something else. Like, I know in Austin they have the radio, television, film major, which is really cool because it's radio, you know, television, film, which is cinematic, I think, which is really cool. I think it's really cool. So
how are
maybe,
you going to incorporate all of the stuff that you learned here? In the photography class.
The photography stuff?
Yeah, because you already had talent. You already knew how to take photographs before you came into my class. So I don't know where that came from. Where did that come from? Did you take a photography course?
I took a photography course at STC. And then I went to Marilyn's class and sat in her class also. Not the film.
Not for credit though, right?
Not for credit, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would go in. And then we started the photography club at UTRGV.
Ah, how long have you been meeting there?
Just this past spring semester. Because STC has one, but UTRGV doesn't. So I kind of want them to be like, maybe they can be sister groups. Because the STC ones, they go to San Antonio on trips and stuff like that. And maybe we can tag along with them. And that way have like this community. If not, we will still have trips, hopefully.
That's cool. So do you think you'll use your talent in photography?
Do you want me to answer the question? Because I'm kind of like rambling on other stuff. So the stuff that I learned here, I think I got better at taking pictures through this class, even if I already knew some
stuff. How do you think that happened? Because I felt like you already could do all of the stuff that you did.
Doing the exercises, I think.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, and just doing the exercises and having... I really like having an assignment. It helps me focus. Because it shows me that, like, you're pointing to what I can go take pictures of, and then I realize, oh yeah, I can take pictures of something like that. Like, there's stuff there to take pictures of that I didn't see.
Yeah, so some of our... What was your favorite assignment?
My favorite assignment? Probably the persona one with the cowboy.
Yeah, you totally killed it. Yeah, you turned into a cowboy.
It was really fun, yeah. Just when Jamie critiqued it and he said that it was like an escape, I think he was really close to what it felt like, because I really like having my camera and getting out of like programming in my bedroom or at school in the computer lab or whatever. You're just programming, you know, and it's like, it's really like, you said that word before.
Myopic.
No, it's like clinical. It's kind of like clean. Clinically clean, the word for clinically clean, what is it? Sterile? Is that the word used? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember. You remember things more than me, but...
It was like, it's really sterile. Mm-hmm. A really sterile experience to me. You can still be creative and have fun with your programs, but if it's an assignment or if it's like a work assignment, it's usually you're doing a task and that's it, right? And having my camera, like, it gets me into the real world. I sweat, you know, and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean because I'm gonna say this for the people who don't. The reason I know what you mean is because we went out on a shooting location yesterday, and we were literally... Well, the thing is like, what's different is that you're interacting with people.
Right.
You're interacting with like the actual real world. You're like touching things. We were in the middle of like what was desert essentially, even though it was a hiking trail. There was like people around you, you were talking to them, you were interacting, you were like vibing off of each other's ideas, you know? Like you got, like from my perspective, you were super psyched.
Yeah,
like your eyes just were blowing out of your head, you know, like you were so excited.
Yeah.
And then I, when I see your work, and I see that you go out, you tangibly go out, you know, like the cowboy assignment specifically, it's like you went out and you asked for help from somebody who has like 8 acres of land for her mm-hmm. horses. You collaborated with her. You were in the middle of her fields.
Right.
You made a fire.
Right.
You had to ask a bunch of people for like your props, like mm-hmm. the saddle, your jacket, your brother's jacket, the cowboy hat, everything. Mm-hmm. So like if you're comparing it to programming, like you would be in your room and you would be staring at a screen and like that at most you would be talking to people virtually.
It's
yeah.
Very,
yeah. So it's the antithesis of what you're doing.
Right.
Right.
It is.
Got
it's just like I read an article that said that a lot of professors feel like they're walking brains. Like, you know, like it's, and that's not how it should be, maybe. Like, you know, you should also have real physical experiences, I guess. Not just...
Yeah.
Like, when you're on your computer, you're almost disembodied. Like, you could be a programmer if they took your brain out and put it in a vat and plugged it to a computer. You know, you don't need your body. You just need your hands to type.
Some people, they only need their eyes.
Or your eyes.
Or their, you know, like... Eyes. I remember, actually, when personal computers became more accessible.
Yeah.
Like there was a person who I would see down at the beach. We have this boardwalk that we'd walk on, and
yeah.
he was handicapped and in a wheelchair. And as soon as personal computers were available, he had one then attached to his wheelchair, and then he would begin to communicate with people through it.
Wow.
The voice, you know how like you can command it to
yeah.
to voice whatever you write?
Yeah.
Well, so check this out. He started to pick up chicks with it.
That's
it was
really
so
cool.
Funny. Like for a good while, we were like, "This is so great!" Like he's communicating, and finally we get to hear like what he's thinking, what he's saying, and like within 3 years he was picking up chicks.
That's
it
awesome.
Was so crazy.
That's really cool.
It was so
yeah.
funny. I don't know if he's successful at it, but yeah,
yeah,
I mean like. That's the like if we were to like we can't demonize something like this,
no,
you know?
No.
We can't go as far as like demonizing that
no.
actual act that it can happen, but that's what I lament as a person who knows what it was to not have it
mm-hmm.
and now have it is that I lament that it almost feels compulsive for your generation, like because it's like another limb in a way. And I don't like the idea that you guys are just can be seen as like walking brains,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
right.
I talk about tragic.
Right.
That's tragic to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So can I ask you another question?
Sure.
What are you most proud of?
Most proud of? Probably like mom. Like it can be anything, right? Like my mom.
Oh, your mom.
Is that right? Like, is that...
It can be anything.
For sure. My parents, probably. But then out of my parents, my mom, probably. I'm so proud that she's my mom. Because of everything she's done for us.
What did she do for you?
My dad worked a lot, too. But he's already retired. But my mom... did a lot for us, like, you know, when we had to leave Mexico or when we had to move, it was because of her work, because she was looking for either she was transferred or she was looking for a better job, better opportunities to raise us, to give us a chance, you know, to go to school and to, she's paying for our college now and stuff like that, which is really.
So is she the breadwinner? Would you say she's the breadwinner?
No, she is. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long was your dad the breadwinner?
Probably until we came over here. Until we came, they worked together all their life. They both worked. My mom at 26, she was already like running a maquiladora, you know, like as a, she's always been in human resources, but by the time she was 26, she was already like a, you know, staff member, kind of stuff. I don't know what they're called in English.
So a maquiladora is like a factory.
It's a factory.
And that's a general name for manufacturing things.
Yeah, manufacturing plant. It's a manufacturing plant, pretty much, right? Yeah. So then when we come over here, she speaks English, but my dad doesn't. So, and he was already, he's already 70. So, and we've been here since I was in the fourth grade, since I was in the fourth grade, I think.
You've been in the United States?
On the U.S., yeah. But we've been moving. And that's... No, he still worked, I remember. Because he worked at a... Like, at a fruit processing plant, where they would can fruit and stuff like that. And she worked at a... At a, like, a, you know, it was a manufacturing plant, and they made, like, car parts and stuff like that. And she was doing something, like, a line worker or something like that. So they were still working. But probably when we came down, then he finally stopped working.
When you came down?
Back to Texas, or back to Mexico, and then to Texas. He finally was able to... Because he was already 65, I think. That's when you retire. Is that right?
My parents are still working.
They're still working?
They're 73.
He's retired. Yeah, but he's always with her, going around doing stuff for her.
How old is, like, your mom?
55, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. 55 and 70.
Are you the oldest?
Right? Yes, I am.
And you have two younger brothers?
She had me when she was 26, so that's... 25 plus 26 is like...
29. 25. She was 29 when she had you, if you're 26.
Okay.
And if she's 25... If she's 55...
Is that right? I don't want to.
That's
do math
the math.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it. You did it.
If she's
you
55 and you're 26, she had you when you were 29.
Got it. Okay. No, then she's younger. She had me when she was 26.
So she was. So she's like 52.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
You are her age that she had. Can you imagine having a child right
now? Yeah, that's crazy. No. But she was also super successful at my age.
She was?
Yeah, she was. She was I wish I could find you what
the
it's
HR
called.
You were saying that she was
no
HR?
She was like the person that's in charge of like the finance guy, the engineering guy, the HR guy.
So she was basically like
she was running the maquila, that maquiladora, right?
She was the boss.
26, yeah.
She was she under the boss, like the owner? Was she wasn't the owner, she was the
she
boss
she was under the owner.
She was like
the owner was in charge of then the separate, like, one here, one in, like, Laredo, one in,
but she ran the whole factory.
The local one, yeah.
Yeah, the local one. Yeah. And she was, at 26, she was doing that.
Yeah, at 26.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so how old are your brothers?
My brothers are 24 and 20. Uh-huh.
And 20? 20, so 20, 24, and 26.
Yeah.
And you guys all live at home?
Yes.
Do you ever, like, wish that you didn't live at home?
No.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
I've lived out of home already when I went to UT.
Yep. UT in Austin?
In Austin.
Yeah.
Right. So I've already kind of had...
Yeah. But you don't, wish you had privacy or could go... Like, they let you do whatever you want, I guess.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And I have my own bedroom and my stuff there and whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you come home at night and you're, like, maybe a little too tipsy, like, do you ever feel like you're doing a walk of shame or
no?
No,
I don't.
They don't judge?
No. Oh, well, I mean, I don't drive drunk.
Well,
I
mean,
see,
of course,
I see why
they
would freak out. Yeah,
no.
I don't. I've never driven.
All right, so if she was 26 when she had you, that makes her 52.
Okay, then she's younger.
Do you realize that she's only 7 years older than me?
7 years older?
Only.
No, I didn't. No, yeah. Because she's probably really, like...
Is she super cool?
She's super cool.
Because I'm super cool.
She's super cool. But she's also, like, super strict, you know, and, like, always busy doing stuff. But she's super nice. She's, like, so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's, like...
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine having three children right now, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I am.
Yeah. I remember when we were going to come down, when we were going to finally move down, she was working two jobs. She had to get a... Like, my dad was working at the factory the whole time. And she started working, I think, on the weekends there, too. She applied to work with him there.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have enough money to come down. Because she was hired, again, as an HR person for Nokia, the cell phone company that is now gone. But she worked for them for a while. And then from there, she went to Panasonic, and from Panasonic, she went to other companies like that. Like, there's a bunch of them across the border.
Yeah.
I remember I would go with her, because we would sell, over on the weekends, we would sell tacos. Like, she would, like, make the meat, and then I would help her, like, she would lay out the tortilla and, like, you know, fill the taco with stuff. Like, they were big. They were, like, this big.
The tacos were that big?
Yeah, they were, like, this big.
He's holding up his hands in about a foot and a half size.
Yeah.
How is that possible to make a taco that big?
Oh, my God. I have to take
it. Are they burritos?
Kind of. Yeah, they're
called... So, like, I mean, like, really? How would you
hold
that?
Yeah, they're kind of like burritos. They're called sincronizadas in Spanish. Like,
those are the ones. Oh, my God. I want one so bad.
They have them here at the taquerias here. You should go ask for one. Yeah.
Really?
They're really good.
How have I missed that?
I don't know.
I've only gone to a rodeo, I think it's called. Rodeo?
No, I haven't been there.
I'm saying it wrong, you know that.
Rodeo?
Yes.
I haven't been there.
Really?
Not Rodizio, right? Which is like the Brazilian restaurant.
Mm-mm. No. Okay. It's the one that's on 3 Mile?
Mm. So then I would ride my bike across and back and forth, you know, bringing supplies. Because it was actually, there was like a grassy field. It was the company, and then we were over here right in front of it. It was probably about a mile wide, the grass. There were like deer there and stuff. It was kind of cool. It was really cool. Like at night you could see them. So then I would do that, and then I would be there with her selling them and taking the money. And
all right, so like every that. Person that's like me who has no freaking clue about how people can cross over into Mexico so easily, are you saying...
This was in Michigan.
Oh, this is in Michigan?
Yeah, this is when I was, like, in the 5th or 6th grade.
Oh, my God. I thought it was, like, I thought you were here in Mission, Texas, and then you'd cross over with your bike. Okay.
Yeah, this was
so in Michigan, where it snows, would she do that all year round?
No, I don't think so. Not when it snows.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, she would do it all year round, but I wouldn't have to ride my bike across, because it's impossible. Like,
there's
so
snow.
Much snow. Yeah.
Actually... A lot of people in New York City still pedal around in foul weather. Mm. And it will not surprise you to know that they're from Mexico, usually, who come up there to work really hard.
That's really
cool. You remember when I was showing you those photographs that Dulce, you remember the photographer that took the superheroes?
Yes.
Like the modern day superheroes? And can you please tell me how to pronounce her name? It's D-U-L-C-E.
Dulce,
and it's P-I-Z-O-N.
Pizon.
Pizon. Okay, so it's Dulce
Pizon.
Pizon. Okay. So she photographed a delivery guy. The delivery guy was making a lot of money to send back to Mexico, said. Which
like
is, but I mean, like, the thing is that every type of food you can imagine in New York City is deliverable to you. And, like, there's all kinds of different types of delivery people, but when it snows, I do not call, because it's just horrible to make people to go out in the snow and on their bikes and stuff. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, after seeing that body of work, that photography, I'm thinking, well, this guy actually has mouths to feed, probably. Yeah. And, like, if he doesn't make it this week because of a snowstorm, then he is probably screwed or something, you know? Like, thank God for these bodies of work, these photographs that... you come across and you learn.
Right.
And the appeal is, like, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here, but the appeal is the actual quality of work and, like, the theme of the work. But then when she puts the caption in there, like, suddenly you're just, like, blown away that I've learned something, you know?
Right.
Anyway, sorry about that tangent. So
no,
you're most
right.
proud of your mom.
Right.
Okay, so here's a good one. And I love this one because... I want to know what you honestly will say, but I'll tell you why I love this one. How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing the people who are going to remember me are, like, primarily, like, probably, like, my children and grandchildren. Those are probably the people that are going to remember me the most.
Okay.
I would say. So I would probably just hopefully I can, just like my parents gave me an opportunity to go to university here and learn so much and study, maybe I can give them the same. Or that's my goal, at least, to have...
That's how you want to be remembered?
Yeah, to give, at least in that circle. That's the first thing that I can think of.
Your family, uh-huh. Most important.
Right. Yeah.
Not as a DJ?
Oh, no, I didn't think about that. That would be cool, being remembered as a DJ, yeah. As like probably like as a producer or something like that, a record producer or something like that, having a label.
You know who, so NYU has Absolutely. A program for that. Mm. NYU has a program for musical artist manager.
Uh-huh.
And I think the University of Penn also does too.
That's really cool. I think maybe...
Yeah, you think you'd ever go up to take classes up there sometime?
I think that would be really cool, yeah. A lot of DJs are old, like Tiesto's like 50. Deadmau5 is like 30. A lot of the DJs I like are in their 40s already, like, and they're playing music to kids, right? But so that makes me think maybe when I'm that age and I can have even more experience in music production and stuff, I can finally, like, maybe I can push, because they've been pushing, like Tiesto's been pushing genres. A lot of them have been, you know, are famous because they came up with a very specific sound that other artists adopted, and you know, they push the genre forward, and I think that would be really cool if I could eventually push a genre forward too and have an impact in making it, whatever, easier to party or whatever. Whatever they do, you know? Yeah.
Like at an EDM concert?
To me, the songs that are...
I just said EDM. EMD, right?
No, it's EDM.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to get that right because I'm kind of old and I don't go to those things. But
the DJs usually mean EDM. They mean very specific, like...
Really?
Like Tiesto and like Skrillex probably. Yeah. And like, you know, I don't know if you know a lot of DJs or not, but probably.
I know the two that you just mentioned.
Yeah, those guys. So those guys are probably what people would call EDM, but the umbrella itself has like splintered pretty much.
Yeah.
And there's always been other genres, obviously. Like disco, there's even disco.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is like, I feel like, well, I went to this lecture once at Kickstarter, and there were a bunch of, it was the theme of it was so Kickstarter is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Their actual headquarters is there.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And they used to have lectures that people could attend, and they actually put it on YouTube. So if you want to watch this at one point, so it was a panel of artists that create public art, and I just recall this one artist saying, "You got to be." Actually, I have a note. I wrote a note. Yeah. I'm going to tell you it so that it's not an incorrect reference. Reference, that's the word I'm trying to say here. You can just push them on the floor if you want.
Oh, no, I was just OCD. Like, I was lining them up.
Your OCD?
About the book, at least. I just want to see them lined up.
Okay, caution. Okay, so I didn't get the name of the artist who said it, but she said, caution. Quote, "Culture always wants to sell you your revolution back to you." End quote.
Uh-huh.
Culture always wants to sell your revolution back to you. So, like, you know, you grow up and you identify with something really deeply,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you're part of a movement, and out of nowhere, you know, like you see a Pepsi commercial. I mean, like, that's the most perfect example.
Yes, yes.
That and the internet and computers have made that this process happen so quickly,
mm-hmm.
like within days of itself, I guess. But the problem is that for us, like I said, the people who were before computers and stuff, it's like there were so many obstacles for us to find and identify the things that we liked.
Right.
The process took years.
Right.
And anytime you would find yourself in the company of someone that dug as deep as you to find it, that connection made you lifetime friends. And like that barrier of entry is gone.
Yes.
And so like when you talk about this umbrella of EDM and everything, like it doesn't surprise me that there's all different genres and that people are like kind of expanding and doing different things, and
mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. I do actually really appreciate that I don't immediately know it,
right?
And that it will take you to educate me,
right,
to learn it, because that process for me is something that I identify,
mm-hmm.
and that's like your revolution that I want to be a
right.
part of, you know?
Yeah. That reminds me a lot of like the Rebel Canon camera. Like it's Rebel, but it's like this mass produced, you know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know
what I'm talking about?
But it's a Rebel. Like,
yeah,
but,
yeah, you're the Rebel.
So they're selling
now.
You back like the Rebel, I guess.
Yes.
The Rebel.
I guess, yeah. But the Rebel, so like it's corny at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So wait, one more thing. I want to tell you why I liked this question. How would you like to be remembered? Mm-hmm. It's because I want to tell you how I'm going to remember
okay.
you.
Okay.
And I'm going to probably cry because I think I'm going to like get really sad when I have to leave. Because I'm not going to see you and I really appreciate everything.
Thank you, Jackie.
I'm going to try and stop crying so I could be a little audible. But, you are such a generous person and vulnerable, but you teach me so much. And I just love how kind you are. And I just think that you have an amazing mind and you're so utterly talented. And I know you're going to be successful. I hope that you tap into your talent frequently.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so I'm gonna end it and give you a hug.
Give me a hug, Jackie.